Okay, welcome everyone. IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. I have a link to the Credentials Community Group site, which allows you to join. And you will need a W3 web account first. All of this is free for community groups. It's just to basically sign the IP release, and the text of the IP release, or basically the W3C community contributor license agreement, is available at this location that I'm pasting into chat. These minutes and an audio recording are archived at the CCG meetings repo. I'm including the link here. And that's it. So now let's start with introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? I'm not seeing anyone new, but we can also do reintroductions. And Nick Hathaway, can I call on you to reintroduce yourself?
Sure, Kim. Good morning, everybody. This is Nick Hathaway. I'm the CEO of eLocker. I think I know many of you, but it's good to see you. And I always enjoy this this discussion. Thank you, Kim, for hosting us.
Thank you, Nick. Okay, for the main topic today, we are going to talk about the VCED work plan for Q1 2021. And discussion on that. There are a few things I wanted to talk about before we get into that. So let's see what we have. So if you've been following the CCG mailing list, then you probably noticed some kind of back and forth over which audio, video conferencing tool that's being used. I checked in with Anthony on this. We're trying to figure out, do we want to switch to Jitsi? And I think basically where we landed, and this is something that it's basically open to the community as well, but I think we're quite happy with just using Zoom. People seem pretty comfortable with it. And in terms of what we make available after the call, we're thinking the Zoom recording. And then what I had been doing is uploading the Zoom auto transcription of the meeting minutes, which is a variable value. You know, it's interpreting every, or trying to translate every word that's spoken. And so there can be a lot of noise on it. I think where we landed there is that we don't necessarily want to reintroduce a scribe, because we think that the combination of the scribe and then just high-level notes, the key decisions made on the call, are sufficient. We're a task force as opposed to the main CCG group, so we get to have a little bit more control over what we do there. I think a lot of what we'll be doing is captured in GitHub issues anyway, and that in turn makes it even more accessible to a broader group who want to follow on what's happening, and we're not keeping decisions in multiple places. So I think that that's where we wanted to land with the group. But if anyone has any topics about any conversation or thoughts about that they want to add, let us know. This is just sort of an implementation detail of how we want to run this group, what's most convenient for people to join, what tools they're already familiar with, et cetera. Let me just check real fast to see if there's any concerns or questions about that. Okay. Looks like we're happy with Zoom, so that's good. This is a very different conversation than what's been happening on the mailing list. So thank you guys for being very supportive of the work and whatever tools help make that happen. So okay, let me see. Now, those are the main things that we had started. And now I wanted to turn to the verifiable credentials for education work plan for Q1 2021. Anthony did the bulk of the work in putting this together, which I really appreciated. It's the context is that, you know, we have these documents and draft specifications we've been working on in this group, but, you know, sort of the idea of when will it land? We want to just get something that will kind of unblock the pilots that we're wanting to use it for. And then, you know, maybe save some of the more obscure cases for a later deliverable. But we also want to have a framework for understanding what's in scope, out of scope. So we already started some work on that, you know, in the modeling verifiable credentials for education spec itself, but there's a plan here that talks about more properly catching the use cases that we want to address in this group, and then how we, you know, turn that document modeling verifiable credentials for education into something that captures those use cases. And I want to see, Anthony, since you did the bulk of the work on that one, would you like to present it, or would I'm fine doing it if you can't right now.
Well, if you can put it up on screen for me, I can present it because I wasn't ready for it. But of if course. I have it in front of you, I'm happy to talk it through.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Let me bring that up. Okay, here we go.
Okay, perfect. So generally speaking, what we've tried to do is try and give a little bit of structure to the way we work. To first of all, make sure that we are, let's say, churning out a fair amount of work and really, let's say, getting moving on this. And secondly, we also wanted to, let's say, try and create a bit of structure to make sure that, let's say, we discuss one thing thoroughly every meeting. So what we have been doing in the lead up to this meeting, which we'll walk you through in a moment, is that first of all, we have been cleaning up the modeling educational verifiable credentials document, because we have, let's say, that whole section on mapping to open badges, mapping to skills, etc., but in a way just an overview of exists rather than being actual to the appendix. Secondly, we have opened a use cases document, which we will show you in a couple of minutes. The idea from our experience, have you thought of this? Have you necessarily follow up with us in terms of what specifically they want us to follow up with? One example from a previous meeting was, for example, how do you model GPA with what you've got? So in the end, we want to be able to support the widest number of use cases possible. But to do that, we need people to actually describe those use cases. So if the audio continues to be choppy, tell me and I'll pass it on to Kim to continue, because we have a lot of snow here and a bunch of power lines are down, I'm afraid.
Okay. It sounds good right now though, so keep going and I'll take okay. over. It's, yeah.
Okay, so the idea is from now on, if somebody, while we're discussing a concept, asks, how do you apply this in this context? Our first question will be, is that context described in the use cases document? If not, we'll invite you to submit a use case, and then let's say we will be able to more formally deal with those use cases and integrate them into our planning. The other thing we wanted to do is just create some general principles for our work moving forward. The general principles Kim and I have managed to come up with so far, but people are very, very welcome to disagree with these or add further ones, is first of all, that we want to allow interoperability between major global international standards. The three which we so far feel should have a special place in our hearts are Europass, Open Badges, and the CTDL set of standards. The second draft work principle is what we call nebis in idem, which means once we take a decision, we do not revisit it. We minute it and we do not revisit that decision. And if you disagree with that, sorry, but we're not reopening it for you unless there's a really major reason to do so. Thirdly, radical transparency and openness. This we already do, but it's always good to write it down. And fourthly, as mentioned, use case focus. So everything we do should, in the end, there has to be a valid use case to which your objective. As you mentioned, the idea is not to write up 5 or 6 use cases and then close the use cases. So if new use cases come along as we're working, that is perfectly okay. Does anybody want to interrupt me so far?
Let's see. So we have a comment from Timothy Ruff. Timothy, do you want to speak to that real fast? I figured that was the part that might open up the most discussions.
Yeah, I think it might be, I don't know, this is a strong word, but overconfident to think that a decision that we make on the information we have today in this nascent space is so strong that it can't be reconsidered except under exceptional circumstances. It seems to me that there's new information presenting itself on a weekly, if not daily basis, and that new information, I mean, there's a balance to be struck here. You don't want to be revisiting things all the time. I understand the need to do something along these lines to have some hurdle, but in general, I try to live my life, not just in business, but that whenever there's new information that we can reopen past conclusions, and new information may take the form of a new perspective on old information, if there's a new insight. But if all people can present is the same things that have already been considered, then the old conclusion stands. That's generally the bias that I have.
And let's see. So if anyone has any comments, feel free to add yourself to the queue. I think, so I added myself to the queue, so I'll go ahead and go first. I think that I totally agree with what you're saying, Timothy. I think I interpreted this as in the context, in a very limited context, basically. So meaning that what we're trying to do with this work item is, ideally pretty, I won't say narrow in scope, but we're focusing on connecting these interoperable standards, right? And I think that the idea is that if we make the use cases straightforward enough, then ideally we can say that, we know everything, we know enough that is likely to happen over the next, say, 6 months. And then there's this exceptional circumstances. I think that the idea is that for coming up with a phase, like a first draft of this document, that's the only scope I'm interpreting it as, meaning that we can do subsequent drafts that, say we finish draft one of it, and we've opened some issues along the way saying like, okay, there's this new thing, let's examine that. So I think that maybe nuance around the scope of what I'm saying is might help. It doesn't mean forever, and it doesn't mean, a broader scope, meaning, all similar documents that the group will similarly work on in the future can't revisit it. So that's my interpretation of it, but I'll work through the queue. Jim Goodell?
Kim, I was going to say exactly what you were saying about getting to a draft, but then the opportunity to revisit with other, with additional drafts.
Right. And Phil Long, P1.
Yeah, Kim. I thought there might be a middle line here, which would allow the progress that I think is the goal of the description of the work process described, so that it can get to iterations of drafts more more directly and in a timely way. But where there are particular topics where activity is going on that might influence future drafts and such, it might be one possibility to have one or two or three people who have an interest just to track those, keep notes with respect to how those are emerging and where they might influence the draft, and then periodically get a report back from those people in terms of, is it time to really consider this again, and or can it wait for the next draft?
Right, thank you. And Carrie, you're up.
I was only going to ask, and this might be further down, so apologies if I'm jumping the gun here. Is there a process? What is the process for making decisions? Because that might help with this.
Right. Okay, let me write this down. Okay. Actually, let me go back to Anthony real fast and see if you have any. I noticed an edit to the document. Anything you want to add, Anthony?
So two things to add here. So first of all, am I muted? No, I'm not. So first of all, the idea here really is simply to say that, listen, if you disagree with the decision of the group, at some point we need to move on. And the idea is not to get caught up when one person very passionately believes something but is clearly, let's say, outvoted by the rest of the group. One draft work principle, which from the last comment I realized we forgot entirely and should be our absolute first, is that decisions are taken by consensus. So at least personally, I would hope that we wouldn't need to go into, let's say, formal voting on items and decisions, but we should be able to work by consensus. And consensus basically means that, well, let's say we consider something close when the majority of the group is happy with the draft that we've got. If we are at, 51%, that isn't consensus. As far as I'm concerned. So if you agree, I would actually put the first principle as decisions by consensus. I am hearing what you're saying about saying, listen, there's a point at which you should revisit the entire draft of the document and see if what we decided before makes sense. I tend to agree with that thought. If you don't mind, we won't draft it live because I need to think a little bit about how to phrase it properly. But I think that's something we can incorporate and have both principles side by side, where we say, listen, you can't keep reopening a topic after it's been decided by consensus. But also there's a point at which we need to revisit and recheck our work in its entirety.
Thanks, Anthony. There are a few, I wanted to just sort of close the loop on some of the chat related to this. So I saw that Jarlath O'Carroll, maybe a good example is a Zoom conversation. If new information comes out about Zoom abusing its position, then we would reconsider that. I agree with that. Support for consensus. And in fact, that's how CCG generally does its decision making. So I like that we added decisions by consensus. There's one other thing I wanted to respond to, which is Marty Reed's question. Is there an established framework for the use case construction and submission process, or are we establishing this here? Anthony had already discussed something, and maybe, I don't know if this is a good time to get into it, but we will at some point, the idea of creating GitHub issue templates to help with the idea of submitting process. So it's basically like in CCG, we have a new work item template that sort of guides you through everything you need to provide for that. So I think one thing we want to do to help the work of this group is to use GitHub templates wherever possible to help sort of coach people through the process. Anthony, do you want to add anything there before we move on?
I know nothing really to add on that specific one. We'll have the template up about an hour after this meeting, so that should help. What I would like to come back to, though, is the point from Phil of reuse existing standards where possible. Generally, I agree with this thought. We'll come to it in a moment. We would do importance enough that we should take them into special account. If any members of the group feel that those are not the right ones, or that there are others that should be added, then basically now and the next meeting is the time to speak up. I would slightly prefer not to just keep it general of reuse existing standards where possible, because sometimes existing standards, are not global enough or are not accepted enough. So I would prefer that we keep this principle, but with a named set of standards, we all agree we have to provide some opportunity.
Yeah, that sounds good. And actually, Phil was, I think the audio was chopping up a little bit, but then it got very clear. Phil Barker said he couldn't, he missed what you were saying. Let me try to summarize, and Anthony, jump in if I missed anything. So I think that there's a strong agreement that we want to reuse. I think that the main clarification that Anthony's making here is that we don't want it to be open-ended reuse existing standards. We want to say we want to enable interoperability among this set of standards. And so, we don't want to reinvent, among those. And so we've called out a few specific ones, Europass, Open Badges, CTDL. And so the idea is this meeting and next meeting, and over GitHub issues or the mailing list or whatever, if you have any that you want to add to that list, then this is a good time to mention that. But that restriction kind of avoids the idea of, oh, what about this kind of TBD weird standard that no one actually uses and may not be a priority. And so one, Anthony, if I missed anything, let me know right after I get to Phil. Phil, you're up.
Thanks for the summary, and thank you, Anthony, for the clarification. And I agree with what you've said, that we're not talking about encompassing every single standard or specification that's ever been written. However, interoperability between standards is not the same as reusing terms from standards. It's possible to establish interoperability between standards by creating a fourth standard. And I think that's something that we should avoid. So this is more about how you achieve interoperability between standards by, and I'm suggesting reuse of terms by possible, rather than creation of new terms. And I think if you're thinking of adding another standard to that, I'd advocate for schema.org, which is slightly different because it is not a domain standard, but it does provide the terms that could be reused to map between these different standards. So CTDL certainly, and to some extent open badges. I'm less familiar with Europass.
Great. Let's see. We have, okay, Phil, rapidly moving topics. Yeah, my thought is that a lot of the ones that the, you know, carry OpenID Connect, I think that the ones that are listed here are more having to do with the verifiable credential content, whereas a lot of these are more around, you know, carry OIDC. I don't really see that affecting, you know, the either the concepts or terms vocabulary that we're using in this, you know, for this context. So I think this is one note, this is a work plan for VCED models. And actually note that some of this is more general than that, but I think that for this highlighted bullet, specifically the one we're talking about now, that is definitely relevant to the VCED's model document. Let's see. Okay, a couple more things. Jim has, I think, maybe a proposal for how we can clarify that a little bit more. Reuse of terms, mapping, JSON-LD, aliasing, data transformation models. Yes, these are the different ways we can enable interoperability. I know what you're saying. I want to just pause on what Phil Barker is saying just a second longer, because I think, you know, when I see, for example, the work that's done in CTDL, that's a very ambitious and very complete, well thought through kind of, you know, set of terms. And I think that still the way this bullet is phrased, I see what you're saying, like, you know, we could achieve interoperability and reuse of concepts by renaming everything in CTDL. And we don't want to do that. We want to definitely reuse other work where possible. So maybe, let's see. Maybe we should take an action item, and I could do it to try to clarify this bullet a little bit more. Because I think we're getting closer, but we're not quite there yet. So maybe in fact what Jim is saying right here. And then lastly, the idea of adding schema.org to the list of the special ones. I like that as well. Let's see. Okay. Anthony, is there anything you want to add? I think that the main thing is that I need to maybe take an action to kind of rework this a little bit. And then we could review next meeting. But let me know if there's anything else you missed. There is one thing from Keith I want to come back to. Actually, it says on my screen that someone's talking, but I'm missing. So Keith mentioned, why are we not mentioning CLR? Let me put it in. And add yourself to the queue if you want to comment on CLR. Carrie, you're up.
Hey, I wanted to, it's referencing Keith's question. Are we using this model? I guess I have two questions. One for single credentials or groupings of credentials? Are we going to make that distinction as part of this work? For instance, we have like the LER, you know, includes a CLR. But open badges are, and CTDL, like those are very like singular. Oh, well, CTDL is a little bit different, but open badges is a singular credential at a time. And then my second question I might as well throw in here is, are we gonna be open to any sort of workforce, like open HR standards as part of education?
These are good questions. So single versus multiple. And that would probably hit on the CLR topic and then HR open standards. Let me just write those down for now. And I think
I'm going to maybe try and answer that only partially. And then we'll try and get back to the rest, which is one thing to remember is that our definition of a credential is a subset of the definition of a W3C verifiable credential, which means that, for example, it is a file where we make a claim about in our case, what a person has achieved. So educational, let's say credentials in the sense of descriptions of courses, they are out of scope of this working group very clearly. If we're not saying that a person has achieved X, I know, excuse the has achieved wording, but if we're not saying something about a person, it is entirely out of the scope. We are not doing institution to institution data transfer of information. We're really talking about credentials, which are given to individuals to represent their accomplishments. So I know that doesn't answer your question fully, but hopefully.
Anthony, I think you cut out at the very end, but I think we got the gist of it. So I agree on that. Verifiable credentials, it's, So I think that the aggregate would be possibly more the verifiable presentation layer, which is covered in the VC data model. But I think at least for getting started with this document, we've all sort of had in mind verifiable credentials, not verifiable presentations. And so I think it would be worth calling that out explicitly, because I could see that, and let me make a note of that here. And I want to call out, Jim added another sort of second tier possible HR open PESC CLR. I think so far we've not been talking about any ones with HR open. Actually, PESC we have been talking about. So let me add PESC to this list here. But I do think it's worth calling out the idea of, are we talking about single versus aggregate? Okay, I'm just going to make a note for myself to rework this because we still have more to cover. I think, and add yourself to the queue if we missed anything, but I think we have a good starting point. And definitely send your comments if we miss anything. Jim Goodell, you're up.
So there are many different formats, and it seems to make sense to start somewhere. And it's not that one is more important than the other, but starting with EuroPass open badges, for example, might be a good place to start. It doesn't mean that PESC or CLR or HR open is less important, but get it working with two, and then go to expand the scope afterwards. Just a thought.
Yeah. Okay, this sounds good. So I think that these three, we're gonna sort of take a rework a little bit. We can revisit next week, figure out if we missed anything. And actually, we'll ping you guys on the mailing list. So just so we can sort of save time in next meeting. If there's any discussion or anything you want to add before next meeting, it would be good to do that so we can hopefully lock that down. This is a good point from Anthony. Do we have a specific requirement that we could have to consider something worth standardizing that might be helpful to sort of make clearer bars for what we consider in scope? I don't know how we're doing, Anthony and bandwidth. let's see, did we talk about radical transparency and openness yet? I think we did, and I think we talked about use case as well. Let me just check if I'm talking over Anthony right now.
No, you're not. So is my audio stable again or not?
Okay, got it. It's cutting out again. So yeah, I think use case focus, everything we do must cover use case. Where objections to proposals are raised, they must always be related to use case. Ideally, use cases exist, but theoretical or potential use cases will be accepted if appropriately described. Okay, I think we made it through that. Add yourself to the queue if you have any other topics that you want to add here. Anthony, I'll do a stab at talking about week two onwards, and then just because it, for your savior or for bandwidth concerns, but either add to the chat or just, you know, speak up and we'll see if your connection's getting any better. And I'll go through week two onwards. So the idea is that we were thinking we work in 5-week sprints. So we open a new sprint every meeting and follow the same schedule. So the VC EDU chairs open an issue linked to a new milestone to develop a specific part of the standard or draft standard. The milestone will have a set structure that describes the scope and questions. The group will hold an initial discussion around the milestone. Chairs will ask for volunteers to make a pull request in conclusion of the meeting. And if no one volunteers, chairs will do it. I'm tempted to remove that because I know in reality that means chairs end up doing a lot of work, but I trust you guys and your desire to move this forward. So at the next meeting, the pull request is presented and people are given the opportunity to consider and discuss it. They will be asked for a provisional yes, no for incorporating the pull request. And we will accept issues to be filed against a specific milestone for a further 3 weeks, after which it is officially closed at the meeting, at a meeting of the group. And so we wanted to give an example of a milestone here. So agree on the high level concepts. And remember the high level concepts, these are we had done a stab at these in the in the modeling VCEDU documents. So these were things like what are the concepts that we want to be able to define in these verifiable credentials. So someone performed an activity, demonstrated a skill, etc. So we also want to agree on the names for those high-level concepts, definitions, concept of specification versus instantiation. So this is meaning like, say, in Credential Engine has things that talk about sort of the definite, you know, the specification kind of world versus the instantiation, meaning someone has achieved or has performed or whatever. So we want to clarify the specification versus instantiation kind of concepts, because verifiable credentials have that notion, which kind of make it distinct from a lot of the other standards that we're talking about, with the exception of open badges. So questions remaining, do we use schema.org? I guess we had already called out here. CTTL vocabularies, choosing intentionally different ones to avoid confusion with these. How do we relate concepts? Do we agree with concepts of specification and instantiation? So this is just an example. And the idea is that, so we had briefly talked about some of these notions already. And so the idea is like with each milestone and sprint associated with that milestone, we're going to go through those with more rigor and actually be iterating on those. And at the end of it, we'll have something that's reasonably decided at least for the scope of this document that we're working on. And then we have an outline of the general, the general flow of groupings of meetings, meeting topics and sprints is like this. So the first one is agree on the high level concepts to define activities, skills, et cetera. Work through each of these concepts to identify a minimal set of critical interoperability properties and how this relates to the standards targets. So that's the next few meetings. I'll give examples of that in just a second. Engage with standards targets bodies for rollout. So that's meeting eight. So that means like, you know, if we talked about aligning with open badges, we want to make sure that what we're talking about here actually has a path to getting support at IMS Global. And in some cases, like, you know, say Anthony mentioned with Europass, the path to adoption might just be straight reuse of those standards. So that's also an option as well. And then advanced topics. So these are things that we have been talking about. I think one of the other things of value here is that we can also move the trickier concepts to sort of a category at the end that we can continue. Maybe these are subsequent work items. Maybe they're sort of notes in our main document, but just the idea that we can make progress on these really straightforward things that we want to accomplish while sort of calling out which ones are the sort of more advanced scenarios. So let me see first if there's any general comments. Okay, so a couple things I wanted to call out. In the modeling BCEDU document, we had been talking about four high-level concepts so far that I think that, you know, these are the ones that we're pretty confident that we'll want to bring in scope for, you know, for the use cases that we want to cover in this document. What's interesting is that there are a couple of, cross-cutting concepts like issuer properties and credential subject slash person that are things that they might apply across all of the standards targets. So things like, you know, has the sort of credential in the verifiable credential wrapper, there's credential subject. So things about the person who achieved the award or, you know, is holding the credential. Those are the things that we will also need to define because those aren't necessarily called out, say, in CDDL issuer properties. So there are ways to express that in I think in CTDL as well as open badges. So how do we sort of bridge to both of those? So one thing that I want to call out in terms of reuse of standards is that I think that we're very interested in having this, the work of this group focusing on one, what are the minimal set of interoperability properties and how it relates to the standards target. So in some cases, this may be reuse of existing terminology. But then also where that's not possible, it's saying like, okay, we really want this property to be present in a standard because we feel it's critical for expressing, say, an activity or skill, et cetera. I think that a lot of these other, you know, some of these other ones like accreditation, evidence, other advanced concepts, these are ones that we're very interested in. We may not have enough information early on, or we may want to say that's sort of, something that we pull outside of this first draft and iterate on later. But these are the things that we can also bring into scope. Let me see. Okay. Let me turn back to discussion and try to make through. Actually, I've not been keeping up on chat. So if anyone wants to add themselves to the queue, feel free to Okay. Well, first thing I'm noticing, Phil's point. Yes, I think that we do want to talk about the idea of the assertions versus a composite credential. And I think, you know, the plan is to call that out in scope here. And then also, you know, we could talk about as, how do you say, like outside of the scope of modeling VCEDU credentials, we can also say like, okay, then what are the priorities for the group after this first deliverable? And then we can get into things like that, or we can get into other sort of high priority for the group sorts of items. So one thing that Nate had called out were things like decentralized identifiers for subjects. There's not a whole lot of ones that are actively being used right now besides DIDKEY. So can we help bring clarity to things like that? So as part of the general group's priorities, we want to call out those as well. Phil, you're up next.
Which one?
Oh, you, P1.
Thank you. So Stefan made a comment about trust anchors and would that be in scope? And I know, Jim, you and I have talked a little bit about this notion of progressive trust and algorithms of that, around that. So it may be worthwhile to think about that as a separate work stream at some point. It doesn't seem it's directly immediately in scope with this, but I do think that it's one of those things that we can't really avoid the problem that you just referenced with respect to, for example, a DIDKEY as sort of a working environment to be able to have a reference to an individual, but it's not robust enough to be really useful in a practical world. So just want to put that out there as a possible side work stream.
I agree with that on a side work stream, and that is something that we could actually capture as an issue as well. On the queue, yep. I have Anthony and then Keith. Anthony?
Okay, so just to say a couple of words about the idea of a registry for issuers, because we have had some initial thoughts about this. First of all, in terms of where does it fit in the schedule, as Simon pointed out, that would be a part of our discussion under accreditation. At the moment, to try and stay within the, let's say, scope of our group, the idea is trying to understand how an educational credential would reference a registry. The idea is not to start discussing how do you set up and how do you run a registry. We can absolutely dive into that if the group wants, but the rationale behind that is that trusted issuer registries are a much wider issue than just education. This is important for everything from banking to education to, well, every use case you can imagine, honestly. So we feel that, let's say, how to run a trusted issuer registry and whether it's a fancy blockchain one or whether it's a good old fashioned text list, we don't really care, but that we need to say that where we make reference to it, we need a standardized way to refer to these entries. What that means would, of course, be up to discussion in the group, but this is our current thinking, that we will reference trusted issuer registries, but that it should probably be another group of the CCG which actually figures out how to run them.
Yeah, plus one on that. And Keith, you're up next.
Sorry, I just had a quick question about this doc. So, you know, let's say we come out with an amazing standard at the end of this process. You know, what is the process to actually get ratification of that? So I'll just, in the US context, you know, I'll come back to CLR. You know, when CLR was kind of finished, IMS Global worked very closely with ACRO, with PESC, to actually get them to ratify the standard. And that's what really what pushed it in the hands of registrars and companies developing software for higher ed. So what would, I mean, to me, that seems like something maybe missing this doc is that you would think at least in the US context, we would have to work with those kind of registrar those organizations that represent registrars or secondary education institutions to get them to ratify whatever standard we had. I'll stop there.
Yeah, I think that the goal of that is covered mostly in, well, we're talking about it primarily in meeting 10, but it will be a milestone and a sprint associated with this group. So what this group can do, the CCG, we can only create draft specifications. And so they're just sort of, you know, like with the verifiable credentials data model, it was released through the CCG as a draft specification before it turned into a working group. So the idea is that, it's once it's published as a draft, you know, then it's great. People can start using it for pilots, but it's not officially a specification. So then from there, the specification itself can go and say it could move to IEEE, it could become a working group. But this one is a little bit unusual in that it's a sort of skeleton. I think of it as sort of a skeleton standard with instantiation, say in IMS Global, PESC, et cetera. So there is work to follow up with each of these target standards groups that we're working with, or that we're targeting rather, to actually get their buy-in to it and figure out how to get it on track for adoption. Informally, we've had these conversations, you know, IMS Global, PESC, and people are very supportive. There's a big support for verifiable credentials and interoperability with verifiable credentials from those groups. So, but there will be work to actually make that happen. Let me see. Okay, thank you, Jim. Let's see. So it looks like any other open concerns from this document beyond what we called out. I think, again, like we have a little bit of rework that we want to do on these. And that's good to hear from Simone. IEEE ILR would be happy to pick up the draft community spec. I think that would be the best target for this, you know, sort of the skeleton, what I'm calling the skeleton spec right now. Okay, well, I don't, maybe I've turned off my volume because I'm just really confused right now if I'm talking over people, but I think we're good.
You're good.
Let's see. Okay, so I think we're probably good here. Anthony, let me check in with you. I'm not sure how your connection is going, but do you have any concerns, or do you think we got through everything?
No, I think we got through everything. The only thing to add from my part, you'll notice I added a meeting to the schedule while we were talking, which is judging by, let's say, the number of comments we received today, I think I would dedicate the meeting next Monday to present the updated scope document, present a little bit more details of the use cases template and how it works. If we have time left over, we can dive into the high-level concepts, but I think that sounds a bit ambitious. But let's say it would be good to make sure everybody is 100% on the same page before diving into the more technical work.
Yeah, that sounds good. In the last few minutes, actually, let me share some links that we were referring to throughout. So we did start a... Where's our use cases? Okay. We started a new repo for VCED use cases. It's very empty right now. Let me share my screen. Okay. So the general flow is that we want to make the use cases very concrete, very self-contained document. So at least, you know, in the earlier phases, we can lock down what use cases we want to support. And in that way, it's also kind of a nice barrier to make sure that we freeze this and then we move on to focus on the other document we've been working on. And so this one is part of the early deliverables. We stole the structure from the verifiable credentials use cases document. And there were just a few sections specifically that we needed. So user needs, focal use cases. And the idea is that we're going to be filling this out. Then we go back to the BCED models. And then certain things like the concepts, you know, a lot of this might move over to the use cases document. The other thing we're going to do to sort of tidy this up a little bit is move a lot of the current examples to the appendix once, just so we don't lose them. But we're hoping to make it then anchored in the use cases document. And we just want to start with a bit more of a blank slate, but we'll have all these things that we've worked on because I know we spent a lot of time creating these. But hopefully the structure for this one will be a lot clearer. So are there any objections to that sort of flow as well, sort of doing the use cases and then making this modeling document a little bit more cleaned up, current examples in the appendix, and then we'll sort of revitalize this document as we go. Okay. So
Sounds good. It sounds good, Kim.
Cool. So we have 1 minute. We have Carrie. Carrie, you're up.
There, this does look great. I love this. One question I have, because we're putting such an emphasis on use cases, I don't have this document in front of me, this page in front of me, but how many use cases do we have in place so far? And do we need to take into consideration time it might take to add the use cases that we need?
Yes. Anthony, I think, do we have like 4 so far?
Well, written in there, we have, I think it's 4, which come from the main verifiable credential standard. We also have a few implied use cases that, let's say, are coming from the minutes of the meetings or some of the discussions we've been having, which Kim and I have to just basically write up and put into the first draft of the document. All that said, we are definitely going to need to do a significant push over the next 2 weeks to increase and improve those.
Great. And then we will have, we'll be following up with information about how to submit use cases with the GitHub issue templates and things like that. So we are at time, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you. It's nice work. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Good job, Anthony.